The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, thank you. Father, you are holy. Lord, we pray today as we spend time in your word, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts. God, that not only would our words proclaim your holiness, but Father, our lives that we live would be a message of your holiness and how, Father, because you have made us holy with you, Lord, we would live a life unified in our purpose of sharing your holiness with the world. God, we pray that you would just be with us now as we look at your word. Father, Father, speak through your word to our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. As we're going to continue this morning, last week, if you weren't here, we started, and I don't really know that it would be a series, but this would kind of be part two if it was a series. But the idea is this: we're Mooringsport Baptist Church, and we are united. And so last week we looked at the different things that united us and how we're united in our mission. We're united because of our salvation. And it's interesting how this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 just kind of rolls into. You can't talk about Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 through 8 without talking about Ephesians chapter 4 verses 9 through 16. And so they kind of go together. And so this morning I just want to continue to go through this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at, so now we're united. We're united by different things, and we're united in different things. And so what does that mean for us a little bit further? So we'll pick up reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. It says this: "Now this expression, 'he ascended,' what does it mean except that he also had to descend into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, God's people, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, you are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of people and the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, you are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Now again, we talked last week about how we're united and how we are united in this cause and our mission in what God has for us. But there are some things that are different about being a part of Mooringsport Baptist Church. The very first thing that's very different about being a part of Mooringsport Baptist Church is that we believe in Christ. And you say, well, that's really strange. All Baptist churches believe in Christ, and maybe they do. But I can tell you this, that in our world today, denominations and things like that are kind of going away. Because what everyone's doing in our world today is they're chasing spirituality. I'm on a spiritual journey. I'm walking my way spiritually towards heaven, towards God, towards whatever. And so when that starts to happen, what takes place is this, is that all roads lead to heaven. And so you can follow Joseph Smith, or you can follow Muhammad, or you can follow Buddha, or you can follow some guy from California who wears skinny jeans and a tight, muscly t-shirt and teaches you good things about how if you just do right things in your life, everything good's going to happen for you. But what separates us is also what unites us. In verses 9 and 10, that's what the author is saying, Paul is saying here. He's saying, listen, Christ himself is what separates us from every other religion in the world. The fact that God in flesh would come down, would die a sacrificial death for his creation. No other religion in the entire world shares that view or that philosophy. Now, you can look into the different religions, and they teach morality, they teach different good things, they teach how you should live an appropriate life. They even have people who maybe came down and taught, but no other religion in the world has a God who came in flesh to die and pay the price for his creation. That is a unique element to Christianity that only Jesus Christ did. So that divides us from, and that separates us from other people in the world who teach. I was talking to Brother Eddie the other day at Offer Rockers, and he asked me if people came by my house the other day. I said, yes, they did. They came and they knocked on my door. They said, hey, we think family values are important to you. I said, what makes you say that? I've got four kids crawling all over me and wrestling in the living room. I said, yeah, family values are important to me. They said, well, how do you see yourself being morality? I think I'm good. I don't know. But they were from the Jehovah's Witness, and they were out talking to people door to door and knocking on different doors and stuff. And the conversation shut down real quick when I told them I'm a pastor at the church next door. They didn't want to talk to me anymore, and they just said, okay, have a great day, and kind of took off. So if you ever need to get out of that, just tell them you're a pastor someplace, and they'll probably leave you alone. But the idea was this, is that, man, if you go and you start to listen to some of these different religions, they teach morality. They teach good things. They try to teach you how to live a decent, well-balanced life. But even in that, we know, as followers of Christ, that our best efforts still fall short of the standard God set for us. And so it had to be a perfect person, Christ, stepping down into humanity, dying a death for my sins, dying a death for your sins, that created a right relationship with God for us. And so while that divides us from every other religion, it unites us, because here's the thing, Christ didn't just go to the cross for my sins. He went to the cross for your sins. He went to the cross for your sins. He went to the cross for your neighbor's sins. He went to the cross for the person whose sin is so massive and so overwhelming that at night they just sit in their bed and cry in shame. And he went for the person who thinks that their sin wasn't really that big of a deal. It was just one small white lie, and it's not that bad. He went to the cross and died for every single one of our sins. And so here's the thing, that unites us, because whether it's a big sin, a small sin, a yellow sin, a black sin, or a red sin, it doesn't matter. Christ died for our sins, and in that we have forgiveness. And that unites us, because look, here's the thing. It's a lot easier to look at somebody and know, it's a lot easier to look at somebody and know that they've been forgiven for everything they've done, because I've been forgiven for everything I've done. And it makes me able to forgive them. It makes me able to work with them. It makes me be able to try and encourage them and want the best for them, because my desire now for them is that they would grow in Christ just like I would grow in Christ. So the very thing that divides us from every other religion also unites us. It separates us from everybody else, but it unites us and connects us in the fact that we are all sinners in need of grace. The second thing that we are united in is this. We've been supplied with who we need to be equipped. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through the first part of 12 talks about how God gave different gifts and different things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. But it's all for the equipping of God's people for the work of ministry. You may not agree with this. You may not like this. God sent me to you. Sorry, I don't have a bow. This is the coolest it gets. But here's what's so cool about that is as you look at this, God sends the right people to a church for the church to do what they need. Look, I know for a fact, this is an honest confession moment. I know for a fact I am not a great evangelist. Here's what that means. I've told and I've shared with some of you guys my story about the time I witnessed to the Muslim man on the pier, Clearwater Pier. I witnessed to him and I witnessed to him and I witnessed to him, and he kept telling me, no, he can't accept Christ. And finally, I berated this man so much that he jumped off the pier and swam in just to get away from me. Evangelism's not my gift, because I just keep berating you and I don't understand why you can't accept Jesus, because Jesus changed my life. But there are other people, man, that they can get up and they can speak, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just works through them, because God has gifted them with the gift of evangelism to tell the good news, and people just automatically connect with it and receive it. And I know, full transparency, I know evangelism is probably not my number one best gifting. But there's a time and a place in a church's life when God will bring in an evangelist to teach those people how to share the gospel, to share with the gospel with a lost community around them that doesn't never heard it before, possibly. There's other times where God will bring a pastor in when a church just needs somebody to shepherd them, to lead them, to guide them, to lovingly put their arms around them. There are other times where God will bring a teacher in because a church doesn't need to necessarily be loved, but they need to be encouraged, they need to be strengthened, they need to be built up in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so here's the cool thing. What God has done at Morningsport Baptist Church is He's not just brought me, but He's brought Sunday school teachers, He's brought workshop leaders, He's brought children's workers, He's brought youth workers that are coming in and rallying around all of us and equipping you as the body of Christ to grow and strengthen yourself, your walk with Christ. And so what God does is God brings people to help lead you to the building up and the equipping so that you can go out and do the work that God has called you to do. You have the equipment. You say, well, how do I have the equipment? All I hear is you preach 30, 45, 50 minutes, I don't know how long, every Sunday. That's not really the equipping. Well, you're right, it's not. Which is why we have these awesome things called Sunday school classes. Why we have things called Wednesday night Bible study. Why we have things called workshops. It's because those things are where you get the equipping. In here, there's only so much equipping I can do, but that's where you get to fine-tune, you get to process, you get to build your skills so that you can take what you learn in those workshops, in those Sunday school classes, in that Bible study, and you can take it to the world that you live in, and that's where you can put into practice all the things that God has taught you throughout the week. My job in here on Sunday mornings is this. Listen, I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to motivate you. I'm the hype man. I get to hype you up, hopefully, and send you out to go do something good in the week. But the practice and the equipping comes through Sunday school, through Wednesday night Bible study, and through workshop groups. Through the fellowship of the body of Christ is where the equipping comes. And that's done not just by me, but that's done by teachers and leaders and evangelists in this church. But God has supplied us with exactly who we need to carry out the mission that He has for us in the community of Morningsport, Caddo Parish in Louisiana. All this work, He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, is for one thing. You and I have been given work to do in strengthening of the church. You're not going to like this. And I don't actually know if I'm sorry or not. This may be one of the few times I don't apologize for something. You have a job to do. You were not saved. God did not forgive your sins so that you could sit on a pew, so that you could say amen every once in a while, so that you could fill out notes in a little bulletin. You have a job to do in making this church the absolute best church it can be. I've been to churches. I know some of y'all may not know my entire story. Let me give you a brief version real quick. I've been in ministry over half my life. When I worked in my first church when I was 19 years old, I couldn't even rent a van to take kids to camp. I had to have somebody else rent the van because I was too young. I've worked for a lot of different churches. I've seen a lot of different things. I can tell you confidently, this fellowship, this church, is special and it's unique. And it's top tier. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I've worked for some great churches. I've worked for some bad churches. I can tell you that this church is a top tier church. But here's the thing. This church can be a better church. You know how this church becomes a better church? When you do what God's called you to do in this church. Because what that verse tells me, what that verse tells you is that God has assigned and given each and every one of us a part to play in strengthening our church. And if you refuse to strengthen our church, here's what's going to happen. Our church is going to get weaker. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get weaker. I know you don't know this, but Kelsey and I, now that the kids are in school, we've been walking every morning. Most mornings. 3 out of 4 mornings. And we're supposed to start working out most days. But here's the problem with that. If I don't do that, what happens? That muscle, I can work out for a week straight, but if I take the next week off and I don't do it, guess what happens? That muscle that I built starts to deteriorate. That word strengthening here means this, that if you and I stop doing the God-given gift, the God-given task that He has assigned to you to do in the church, that the church starts to get weaker. Church, body of Christ, God has given you something that he needs you to do to make Mooringsport Baptist Church the absolute best church ever. One of the things I pray with every new member that joins our church is this. I pray that God would use our church to strengthen their walk with Christ, to help them become the best follower of Christ they can be, but that God would use them in the life of this church to make this church the best church that it can be. I pray that with every church member. I pray that with people who are just coming here who haven't even joined our church yet. I pray for them during my private prayer time that God would use them and he would use our church and he would use them in the life of our church. Because every single one of us has been given the calling, the task, and the responsibility to help every church become the best church it can be. Now, with that being said, I have some unfortunate news for you. Verse number 13 tells us this. Until we all obtain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Can I give you the prose translation of what that means? There's no perfect church. I know. You're looking at me and you're like, this church is pretty perfect, John. You're right. It is. But see, what that verse tells us is that the standard is not the church across the street. The standard is not the church down the street. The standard is not the church I grew up in back in the day. The standard is the body of Christ. Now, if there's one thing I know about the body of Christ, if there's one thing I know about Christ in general, is that Christ is perfect. And so if that's the standard, then here's the thing. I know for a fact I'm not at the standard yet. You know why? Because of us. Who's broken in here today? So with broken people, here's what's going to happen. Broken people are going to get together and they're going to do their absolute very best to make the body of Christ the absolute best it can be. But at the end of the day, we're still broken people. And so you're always going to have problems in church. You're always going to have difficulties in church. If you are looking for the perfect church, I hate to break it to you, but this is not it. And neither is the church down the road. And neither is the church in Blanchard. And neither are simple churches. And neither are big churches. And neither are small churches. There is no perfect church. There is Christians who are broken, working together. That's what he says in the next verse. While there is no perfect church, he does give us this. While there isn't a perfect church, every church should be growing toward perfection. The second part of verse number 13 says that we are to be growing up into the standard that Christ has set in his full body. Meaning that you and I are to be growing. We should be part of a growing church. And a growing church, while it may not be perfect, it should always do this. It should keep you striving for perfection. Can you imagine if all of us, that blank is this, every church should be growing toward perfection. Can you imagine if you and I just decided, you know what? I'm never, you know, Kels, I'm never going to have the perfect body. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to eat Ho-Hos all day. Actually, I like corn fritters. I'm going to eat corn fritters all day. I'm going to drink as many Diet Cokes as I want to. Because I'm never going to have the perfect body, so I might as well just give up. How would that work for me? Probably not real well. Can you imagine if you go into your work tomorrow morning and your boss says, hey, listen, I need you to do this job. And you say, all right, boss, sounds good, but let me tell you, it's not going to be perfect. So I'm really not even going to try because I know I can't do it perfect. And so I'm just going to kind of wing it. How do you think that'd work for your job? We'll be praying over you for next week for your job search because you probably wouldn't have the job you have for very long. In every area of our life, we're taught to pursue perfection. College football's back, by the way. Thank goodness I can actually breathe again. But the goal of how many teams go into the season, you know what? We want to be 6-5 this year. That's the goal. Just 6-5. We want to win more than we lose. Look, I've been a part of some really bad football teams. I'm an Auburn fan for crying out loud. You know what I know? My hope for the year is, hey, listen, man, I hope we're perfect. My goal is that's perfection. In every area of our life, we pursue perfection except in our walk with Christ. Except in our church. Because we take that knowledge of, well, there is no perfect church, John, so it's okay if we're all flawed humans failing together. But what that verse tells me, and what that verse should tell you is this, is that while we are not perfect, our standard and our goal is set by Christ himself, and you and I should constantly be doing those things that he's given us to do to make every body of Christ the absolute strongest body of Christ it can be. Look, I said this in our Sunday school hour, I'll say it in here. We may not be the church for every single person in the world. I know that. There's some really good churches in our area that are way better suited maybe for some people. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever church you associate yourself with, your job, your task, and your calling is to make that church the absolute best church it can be. Because you should all be growing towards perfection. Now, here's the problem again. If we're not growing towards perfection, we're growing towards failure. So how can we tell if our church is growing towards perfection or growing towards failure? He gives you some proofs in verse number 14. As a result, you are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people and craftiness and deceitful scheming. The proof of whether or not our church is a growing, healthy church or not is the depth and strength of our faith. Man, can I pause for a moment and just be very transparent and real with y'all? Thank you. I've watched you guys walk through a lot of things. I've watched you guys walk through loss of family members, through loss of loved ones. I've watched some of you guys walk through loss of jobs. I've seen some of you guys struggle with family members who are in addiction. I've seen you guys struggle with family members who are walking away from Christ. I've seen some of you have hardships and difficulties in your relationship with Christ. But can I tell you something? Thank you for letting me walk through it with you. Because, man, I've seen a depth and a strength that has developed in your faith. And it lets me know this is why this is a top-tier church. Because you're allowing God, not just in those situations and those circumstances, to teach you, but you're allowing what God is doing in your life to teach other people. And it's not just strengthening your faith, but it's strengthening the faith of those around you. And so the proof of a healthy church is the depth and strength of their faith. So from the bottom of my heart, sincerely, thank you for letting me do that with you. One of my kids the other day, I forget who it was, asked me what I like about my job. We were family discussion time, and they were supposed to tell us one thing they liked about school that day. They said, John, or Dad, they don't call me John, they call me Dad. I guess Thomas calls me John sometimes. They said, Dad, what do you like about your job? What was good about your job today? And I had to think, because some days are good and some days are bad, just like any other job. But I said, getting to walk through people's darkest times with them and watch them experience hope. That's what I love about my job. That's what I love about going through life with you, is watching you experience hope and the strength and the depth of your faith increasing and growing. There's other proof too. He goes on in chapter 4 and verse number 15. The proof is also in our ability to lovingly share the truth. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. It's one thing to be known as truthful people. A few years ago, I did a deep dive into Westboro Baptist Church. I don't know if you remember Westboro Baptist Church or not. I don't even know that they're relevant anymore. But at the time, they were the ones who would picket soldiers' funerals with vulgar, terrible signs about who God hates. And they were so angry, and these people just had this stance that they were going to tell everyone the truth. And I did a deep dive into it, and I went on their website and I looked at their doctrinal statement, and I went through like their church's website, and I watched their sermons, and not because I agreed with anything they were saying, but I wanted to know what they were saying. Can I tell you the scary thing? A lot of what they said was the truth. The problem was they weren't lovingly sharing the truth. The health of a church is how we can communicate truth to people who don't have the same standards that we have. How can you and I lovingly take the words of God's word and share it with a world that needs not just to know the truth, but needs to know about the love behind the truth? Amen. Again, thank you all for doing that. You're truthful people. We have, I think, a reputation in our community as being truthful, honest people. But not just that, we have a reputation in our community that we lovingly share that truth. Thank you. That's how you know if a church is a good, healthy church or not. It's not just enough to communicate truth. Can you lovingly communicate truth? Keep going into verse number 16. You find this: from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper work for each individual part. Here's the cool thing, church. Christ brings the right people at the right time. It's neat to me. Maybe I love to look out. I told you guys when you sit in the same spot, and some of you tricked me this week and you sat in different spots. But I love it when I look around this room, because from any given week, there's new people. There's new faces. There's people who I haven't gotten to know all that well yet, and there's some people who I've gotten to know all too well now yet. There are people who've seen me dance with my kid at a hockey game. Some of you haven't been blessed with that yet. You will. But here's what that means, is that God is bringing and assembling people for a job and a task that he has for us. Now, there are times where like I look out and I'm like, why in the world did God bring that person here? But here's what I want to tell you. God has brought the right people together for the right mission. He is, man, for those of y'all who've been here for a long time, you've watched it, haven't you? You've watched people trickle in, and all of a sudden you found where they've found their place, and they found their place of service, and they've plugged in, and they've gotten involved, and now all of a sudden we're reaching our community better than we were a year ago because of the people that God has brought together, and he's not done. And what that means is that as God continues to bring people in and plug them in and get them involved in this fellowship and in this community, we still have a job to reach, but we're going to reach it better next year than we did this year because he's brought the right people together at the right time. Say, great, good words. Thanks so much, John. Let's go. But wait, because he gives you the last part of 16. He tells us this. The last part of 16 tells us that according to the proper work for each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Verse number 16 tells me is this, is that we have to continue to seek Christ together. As long as we're seeking Christ, we're going in a good direction. If our focus, if our mission ever gets off of being the body of Christ, we're in a world of hurt. It talks about how God, how Christ has brought everything together at just the right time, and he keeps everything together, but he doesn't just keep everything together to make the body healthy. He does it so the body can do the work that it needs to do. As long as we continue to seek Christ for what our next steps are as a church, we're going to be all right. As long as we continue to support each other, he talks about how every joint supplies support. Hey, do me a favor real quick. Just look around. Look around the room. Maybe wave to somebody you hadn't seen yet. They weren't here when we did the shake hands time earlier. You being here this morning has encouraged somebody. Look, all you've done so far, that's not true. Some of them cooked breakfast this morning. Maybe you came in, you sat down, and you haven't done anything else today. Your presence here matters. It offers encouragement to somebody. It offers support to somebody. You may not even understand what you've done, but by being here together, as long as we continue to support one another, we're going to be all right. Lastly, as long as we continue to seek Christ, as long as we continue to support each other, and as long as we continue to work with how we've been gifted, we're going to be all right. Some of you say, well, John, I haven't really been working. It's all right. Because God forgave my sins when I didn't work in church, when I wanted to take time off. So here's today where you can start. God's gifted you. He's equipped you. He's brought people around you to give you everything you need. And he's given you a task and a job inside the fellowship of the church. As long as you continue to do that and I continue to do that, we're going to be all right. And if you haven't been doing it yesterday, guess what? Tomorrow, brand new day. You can start doing it tomorrow. I had a lot of time to think about too many things sometimes. This is our statement that I came up with for our church this year. We are growing. I always joke around and tell you guys that we're the best kept secret in Caddo Parish, and the secret's out. We're growing. My prayer for us is that as we grow, we would grow in love. He ends verse 16, he says, listen, may you continue to grow in love. Not just love for each other, love for our community, love for the lost person that needs to hear the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, love for the person who's struggling with different things in life and thinks that there is no hope. May we continue to grow in love for those individuals to see something in our lives as you've been equipped to go out and share that hope with them. All of a sudden, man, that moment would change for them. And you guys know this. I believe that every moment, every interaction, every encounter that you have with people holds the power of eternity in it. And so who knows? You may think you're just going to work tomorrow. You may think you just invite somebody to come play pickleball where there's no pickles. But in that and through that, God might change someone's eternity. And you get to play a small part in what he's doing. That's who we are as Morningsport Baptist Church United. We're not going to change our name. We're just Morningsport Baptist Church. But this year, as we focus on, and we're going to start into a new year in a lot of different ways, as we start into a new year, church year, I hope our focus is that we are united, we're serving together, and we're growing in love. God, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you for this fellowship, for this church, for this body. God, you've blessed my family and I to be able to see and experience so many things with them. So God, I thank you for allowing me the privilege to serve alongside these wonderful people. God, I pray that you would just continue to keep us united. Father, as we move forward, as we move into the next phase of our church life, and Lord, what the next thing that you have for this church and this community is, God, I pray that, Father, we would continue to grow, but we would continue to grow in love. Father, that we would be known for our ability to truthfully communicate truth, lovingly communicate truth. God, we would be known by the strength and depth of our faith. God, I pray that you would do something remarkable in this church, in this community, in this parish, in this state. Father, we pray that revival would start with us. Lord, we pray that we are strengthening our church, your body, because we love you, and that's what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.